If you have any questions or concerns about this week's episode, please call or text producer Dan at 778-288-9255.
Start the party, Dan!
It's time to turn it up. We're getting crazy, going wild, fucking nasty stuff. Dude scrolling down, site fucked up. Fire, boom, roast, mad puff, sticking up the replies. We don't want to go to school. We don't want to get a job. We just want to get online and get our asses blocked. We don't follow the rules. We do whatever we want. It's Block Party, the podcast, like we're tweeting a duck.
Wah.
Hello, friends, idiots, and friends who are also idiots. Welcome to your favorite podcast about social media and rejection. It is Blocked Party. This is episode number 277. I'm John.
I'm Stefan.
And with us is a fantastic guest, a first-time guest on the program. You may know them as a Twitch streamer or a member of the Shrimp Boys. Luke Taylor is here. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Luke.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome.
Fuck.
Thank
can we take
you.
The talk? Can we take
Thank
it
you for welcoming me
we
to my
start
own
again
podcast.
If you want. We can honestly start again.
No, yeah. It's fine. Hey, great.
From
guys,
the
it's
Shrimp
great to be
Boys,
here.
Luke Taylor.
Guys, it's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me on Blocked Party with John and Stefan.
You can just say the name. You don't have to say our names.
You want to take that again?
Yeah, I'll take it one more
from
time.
From the Shrimp Boys, Luke Taylor.
Oh my God, guys, it's so great to be here. Longtime fan, first time guest. Couldn't be more excited to be on Blocked Party.
Okay, that's good.
That was good. You know what? That was really good.
That kind of got me in my feelings a little bit. Made me feel like this means something to be on this show.
It was a lie. No, it was a lie. I listened to it for the first time today, but you could cut that out and then it would be.
Sure.
Yeah.
You listened to the DBJ episode.
I listened to the DBJ episode and the one you just did.
With Lane Moore, the most recent one.
Yes.
What are your general thoughts on the show?
I really enjoyed it. For me, it was sort of an exploratory mission trying to figure out what the fuck I was supposed to do for the show. And we can get into it, I guess. So Stefan sent me.
Yeah, this is Stefan booked you on the show because I was not familiar with your work before Stefan said, hey, we got to have my friend Luke on the show.
I know you from the Go Off Kings and from Twitch and everything.
I'm not in the Twitch con. I'm not in the Twitch universe.
Although you were great on the Jeopardy stream.
Oh,
I will say. Yeah.
Thank you. It seemed like people liked it.
It was fun.
It seemed like some people really didn't like it as well.
No, I think they liked it a lot. And especially because like the very next stream, we had a Joe Biden text-to-speech going on and it was like so brutal to listen to. And people were really pissed about that. But anyway,
I did enjoy a lot of the comments along the lines of, whoa, the stream is for real tonight.
Yeah,
it did seem like they're actually doing a real program tonight.
We had like an idea that we planned like in advance, and it wasn't just like a blank week or blank night. It was like an actual thing. So people did enjoy that.
But there was a lot of sort of fuck John. Why is John here?
I don't know. I think they were on your side because you were going after me pretty hard, and
I was.
I think the chat was on your side.
That's the key.
You won
them
over.
A lot of the chat, I would say, was on my side. I just anytime I go on the Go Off Kings, there's always some spoil sports in the chat who are saying, "Hey, get this guy out of here."
A lot of people were gifting
Block Party.
Yeah, a lot of people were gifting subs to, Japanese rope bondage and I don't know if you noticed that was kind of an ongoing.
I didn't actually. Sort of wasn't paying attention to all of the chat.
That's
just
good.
Sort of the times where they were saying I was good.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's the way you're supposed to stream. But anyway, I invited Luke on.
So you invited Luke on, which means Luke did not get my email.
Yes,
which means
our listeners know you have a very thorough email, not a PDF, but essentially should be a PDF.
Yes.
Very thorough instructions for what to prepare for the show, what the show is going to be like, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I don't do that. I kind of do it my own way.
You actually said you were willing to share how Stefan explained the show to you, which I would love to hear that because I would love to know how Stefan tries to prepare our guests for this program.
Yeah, no problem. So it's basically one big run-on sentence, and it says, basically, you just need a block for the block tale and some funny or stupid shit you saw online recently for a social media update. Can basically be anything. And that stuff I kind of got because I knew it was about Block Party. But what kind of prompted me to have to listen to a couple is the last sentence. And then a topic for the top three at the end.
Oh, my
No idea really what top three. I mean, I had to listen because I was like, is it just a top, you know, if, because that felt a little strange, and no shame to your guys, how you guys organize the podcast. But I was like, why are you guys doing a top
shame
three?
Shame to Stefan, please.
Why are you doing a top three on a podcast? That, I mean, the social media update blog, that's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then you're just doing a top three of just anything?
Yeah, at the very end of the show.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So
okay.
I think the top three is a fun segment, but yeah, the way Stefan described it to you was pathetic. And I will say, we previously this year, we had Beth McCall on the program, and she was made to listen to Stefan go on and on about something. I don't even remember what
it was my Minesweeper parody song.
Oh, that's right. And I paid her $10 extra for having to put up with that. And yeah. Luke, I will be reimbursing you $10 extra for Stefan explaining the top three like that, because
that's awesome.
That is really, truly,
that's awesome.
I think I explained more about the pod in another message though, right after that.
I mean, you could say I basically said
the block doesn't matter.
You said, oh yeah, definitely. I said, can it be someone that blocked me? Oh yeah, definitely. Honestly, it's the least important part of the show. We mostly just shoot the shit.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah. I'll give Stefan that. But
I still had to do that stuff, even though that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you still kind of need it. Yeah.
So. Right. Okay.
It's not important, but it's like you do need one. Like it can be like 2 minutes long, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Definitely.
You do need it. Here's what I send. Here's what I send to people about the top
three. You're going to make me look bad. You're going to make me look bad.
Here. We end every episode by getting our guest to suggest a top three for us.
Already way better than whatever.
So you give us a topic, and then we each go around the table and tell what our top three of that topic would be, one list item at a time. For example, you say your number three, John says his number three, Stefan says his number three. You say your number two, etc.
Yeah.
Gotcha. We've had some very on-the-nose lists, like best types of chips, and some far more abstract ones, like hottest cartoon characters or ways you'd like to die in ancient Rome. Do whatever you'd like.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
And that would have helped, because I realized I kind of, hearing that, I'm like, oh, I could have like worked even a little bit hard on it and thought of something good.
You can also think it up during the episode,
because
people will often think of it during
the episode based on something we shoot the shit about, and then we go, oh, what, you know, maybe that'll show up in the top three later or whatever.
Yeah. Sweet.
But honestly, it's like the least important part of the show. Really,
but then I do also send a doc where it has every top three ever listed. So then also you would know, like, it could help you get some ideas / make sure you don't repeat an idea.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit, you know, would have been a little more helpful than Stefan's. And also we do a top three and whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the least important part of the show. But Stefan, you also said the block story is the least important.
Yeah, that's
pretty
unimportant too. And then honestly, the social media update, I could do without. Like, it's not. Yeah. So I would say our main three segments, you know, it's not a huge deal.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm, so don't, cool. It doesn't, yeah, it's not a big deal.
I would say what I would say about the block tale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is, it is not important. You do not have to have a good or great block tale to be a good guest on the program. However, if you have an iconic block tale, listeners do very much like that.
Now, here's where I'm going to reveal my hand a little bit, because I've been kind of railing on Stefan, but the actuality of this is I asked to do the show because I have a good block tale.
Yes, and that's great. Yeah. When we love that. We do love when people are like, I have this amazing block tale, especially in this day of the internet where it's like blocks aren't really as big of a thing anymore.
No one's posting on Twitter as much anymore, which is where a lot of the blocks happen. Everyone's been blocked by you know, celebrity or brand, but like, I think I know what yours is, and I'm very excited for it.
I've thought about how it could have only happened at the time it did, and it fully would not happen now on Twitter, which is interesting.
Those
to
are
me.
Ideal, I think. Yeah. Those are good. Yeah. But you know, we have sometimes, you know, and it's not obviously anyone's fault, but sometimes we'll have people on and it's like, oh, my block was like a criminal stalker X who was trying to kill me.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about that.
No, but it's, you know, it's kind of like, it's, you know, like, There's a spectrum of blocks, yeah. I think, and yours is at one end, and then there's
sure.
And Stefan is an expert on spectrums.
That's
so
correct.
That is so you can take his word for it.
Yeah, I'm a criminal stalker. Dan is going to clip that, I think, and get
yes,
it to
definitely.
Out.
Yeah,
yeah, Jesse will be getting that later tonight.
Luke, keep that in mind, Luke. I mean, you're obviously familiar with how our sound alerts and stuff operate on the Go Off Kings, but anything you say here, there is a chance it'll be used as a sound alert because Jesse will be listening and he will be clipping stuff. Dan's going to clip stuff for Jesse. It's a whole thing. So
I wish I had said I don't want to hear about stalking. That kind of makes me seem like a bad guy.
Well, just say you love stalking.
I love supporting people, whatever pain they're going through.
Just say you love criminal stalking.
Can you show me how to say it first?
Yeah, Luke loves criminal stalking, but you would say that you love it.
No. You say it how I would say it in the first person.
I, Luke Taylor, love criminal stalking.
That's stupid, dude, because you could cut out the Luke Taylor because of the way you paused.
Yeah, absolutely. Shit. Way too big of a pause.
Easy,
God damn it.
Yeah. Full commas on Luke Taylor.
You would think that he would learn at this point.
I don't love criminal stalking, and I am not a criminal stalker.
And you think that's going to get clipped?
You
think
that? You clip that.
Problem solved.
You clip that. You show it. That seems more like you're a criminal stalker.
I think that's actually a better clip.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then I'll cancel. I am a criminal stalker.
This isn't going well for you, Stefan.
I think we've sort of covered all our bases here. So yeah.
I think you would be good at stalking, honestly, because you're so small.
And honestly, playing that Gollum game where it's a lot of like stealth and stuff, and like I think I could learn from Gollum. I'm pretty sure.
My precious,
it's not bad. That's not bad. That was okay.
I've never even seen Lord of the Rings.
No, I know. Well, we
really.
Need to, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know any of it.
Oh, well, that's it.
Was that? Yeah, that was the whole.
That is basically.
My precious. I mean, that's half the fucking movie right there.
My precious.
That's a little.
I don't know what Gollum sounds like.
I can't do a Gollum.
Well, Stephanie, either. I think you have to try. Both Luke. Oh, that's good. That's
my. I can't do it. No, I can't. That's not
your. It just sounds like your Marge Simpson voice.
I know. Everything sounds like my fucking Marge, right? Here, I'll do Marge Simpson as Gollum. Hold on. I have to get into Marge.
Oh, here we go. And now he's going to do that.
Homie. Oh, homie. Homie. I just think they're neat. Oh, homie. My precious.
Okay.
Sounds more like Yoda.
Yeah.
Way more like Yoda.
I know.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah.
Like if you'd said, this is my Yoda impression, I would have gone, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, Luke,
that
was my Yoda impression.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice, yeah. Nice, dude.
Good job, dude.
You passed the test, which is something Yoda would do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about the Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Luke, are you an impression? Are you an impression guy?
No. I would say that it's one of those things that I wish I could. I can't do any impressions. I can't really do any voices. Like that's really not my bag. I wish I could, and I feel like I even try and do accents and I fuck them up. Like if I start talking in British accent, like I could do it for a sentence, and even that I could tell wasn't great. But then I start doing another accent like partway through, like South African, and I don't know why or how.
Right. Don't get Stefan started on that.
Well, I can say one sentence,
but you can't.
South African.
People who are from South Africa say your accent sucks.
No,
shit.
They say it's good.
No, they don't.
I'm from South Africa. That's pretty good.
District 9 was a great movie. What was mine, really? District 9 was a great movie. I mean,
yours is like an Australian person that's lived abroad for a little while. They're losing touch with their accent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
what other accents can you do?
Well, we're running out of the classic white guy ones. So let's,
I was gonna
let's
say,
be careful
Stephen
here.
Is teeing you up to get canceled here.
Hey, I'm Italian over here. You know, sort of a New Jersey, New Yorker guy.
That's good.
Maybe.
Yeah. Dan, do you like that one? Because Dan's Italian.
Yeah, that was really good. I thought that was like my uncle or some shit.
Hey, my IQ's so low, I'm gonna be a concrete pour my whole life, and my kids are too. Oh, caramba! That's a Simpsons.
Oh, caramba!
Caramba!
Yeah, that's what they say, though. Yeah.
Italian guys say that, or Simpsons guys say that?
Oh, caramba!
Okay, so that. Okay, is that a Simpsons guy or a Italian guy?
Oh, caramba!
Hey, caramba! Hey, okay. This guy's caramba over here.
Hey, eat my shorts over here.
Okay. Yeah. Now, so that's good. More like New York guy, not necessarily
that's
Italian.
More
me,
yeah.
But that was
yeah,
good.
But like New York Italian, I'd say.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Those are my characters.
That's good. Those are really good.
I mean, you guys are Canadian. I don't know if this news affected you or you heard about it, but the famous Just for Laughs comedy festival just got shut down.
Yes.
And I was gonna be there this year, and I'm gonna be at the festival. Oh no, it got canceled.
Ugh. And I was about to say those are all the characters I was gonna do at my new Faces showcase, and it sucks that it got canceled because. I really think I could have wowed some people this year, right. Not like the other years.
You know I was going to get famous, and I was going to definitely be on the festival. Oh, no!
You know who would have been good at New Faces? Hmm. Michael Jackson.
Because he got a new face with plastic surgery?
Plastic surgery.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Also a pedophile,
yeah.
Well, but yeah, but... Yeah. And I guess he didn't do stand-up comedy, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess...
Some of the stuff he did was pretty funny, like holding that baby out the window.
Holding blanket out the window?
What the hell was he smoking there, man?
And what kind of name is blanket?
Dude.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm shaking my damn head.
I think that would be a good Halloween costume would be to get like a big inflatable Michael Jackson, and then you are like blanket being held. You know what I mean? You know, they have like the big, like giant costumes or whatever.
Just get one of those big inflatable Michael Jackson. You guys know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to look this up right now. Inflatable Michael Jackson.
If you're a baby in proportion, then the Michael Jackson is 12 feet tall.
Sure. Yeah.
Or more.
Okay. I found.
Steph is just going to walk around with a 12 foot tall Michael Jackson.
I found on AliExpress. Here, I'm going to link this, and you can, because this is a video episode as well. So Dan, you can get this up on this is from AliExpress. This is $629 Canadian.
Uh-huh.
And I mean,
$629. I mean, that's a great deal for a Halloween costume deal. Of you being 13, strapped to a pedophile.
It's 13 feet tall.
What the fuck?
It like that, barely I mean, looks like Michael Jackson.
No, it doesn't look like Michael Jackson. To say it barely looks like is almost giving it too much credit.
Yeah.
I guess the hat. And if a lot of disbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the rest of it doesn't, like, he's got the one glove and the hat. But that's, like, it, really. And I guess the cape, but.
The cape, sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the smooth criminal era, right. Michael Jackson. Smooth
criminal.
It looks
more like Zorro, I would say. Because.
You would have to do so much explaining if this was your Halloween costume. If you had this 13 foot high Michael Jackson,
but then your blanket, didn't blanket have a blanket over their head?
When he held him over him, was blanket a him or a her?
I guess it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a guy, baby.
Yeah.
Where is blanket? Baby. We should look that up. Where is blanket Jackson right now? We got all the guy that was the cover of Nevermind. We got all that. Where's blanket Jackson?
Now, so Prince Michael, B.G. Jackson the second, known BG? As known as Blanket in his childhood, and now B.G.
Mm.
Yeah, is an American filmmaker.
Oh, yo,
of course.
I bet his short films are fucking sick, dude.
Nepo,
absolutely,
baby.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think okay. One sec. I'm gonna Blanket Jackson like wind. What would you say? Balcony.
Yeah,
yeah, but definitely had a blanket over the baby's head because he didn't want people to know what the baby looked like.
And he like really almost dropped the baby.
Oh, genuinely held the baby like fully over the balcony. And if he dropped the baby would have died. Yes, 100%.
That would have been curtains for old MJ.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Turned out it was all the pedophilia people already knew about that took him down in the end.
Yeah. But that would have sort of added insult to injury, so to speak. Right.
Right. Well, the baby would have been injured for sure.
Wow. Blanket is 21. That is crazy.
Time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I think, okay. So maybe the way to do it.
Just turned 22.
Maybe the way to do it is for me to dress up as Michael Jackson. Right. Mm-hmm. And then have like a baby doll with a blanket on it. And I'm like, I've got it. You know what I mean? Is that the way to do it?
I don't think you should be dressing up as Michael Jackson, if I'm being honest.
Okay, yeah. Why not?
If I don't really think I want to even be on the... I don't really want to explain it, but I think anybody who's listening right now
I
want to
see if you can thread the needle here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't think I'm going to, but thanks for asking. I won't be doing that, though.
Okay, well, I'm gonna dress up as Blanket Jackson, I think, for Halloween this year.
Great. Yeah. And I'm happy for you, and I do hope you do that.
Yeah. I think it could be a couple's costume, right? Sort of.
So what? So then what?
Is that possible?
Who's the couple in this situation? Irene doing in this situation?
That's the thing, is like
she's Michael Jackson. I mean,
okay, yeah. So she's wearing the inflatable Michael Jackson costume. Hey, babe, well, I got a good idea for Halloween. Why don't you dress up as famous pedophile Michael Jackson?
It wouldn't have to be inflatable at this point. It could just be a regular Michael Jackson costume.
Right. But then whether he's inflatable.
But she's
or not,
smaller than you.
I know, that's the problem.
So,
right.
she has to be Blanket and you have to be Michael Jackson.
I would have to be Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to that. So.
Yeah.
Or I could find like just a really, like a very tall person to be Michael Jackson. Right.
Also, that would sort of imply that you could pick Irene up.
Yeah. I mean, that's
you're very weak.
Well, but the thing with the balcony is that he actually almost dropped the baby. Right. So that actually does kind of, he couldn't really hold the baby.
Right.
You know?
I mean, Irene is about as tall as you, right? Like 5'4".
No, come on, fuck off. Come on. I'm not Luke. You met me at TwitchCon. I'm the same height as Jesse. Come on. Help me out here.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but sometimes like someone's personality can make them seem shorter or taller.
That is true.
Jesse seems like he's 6'5", and
Jesse does have a six foot personality. He's
an Adonis, and then meanwhile, I mean, no offense, dude.
I know, and I think even just the camera angle I have here too, right?
Yeah,
it makes me seem much smaller.
If someone asked me before this, like, are Stefan and Irene the same height? Having met them for 2 days in October, I would go, yes, they are. And Jesse and his wife are the same height, because I think all women and men should be the same height when they date.
Wow, that is so progressive of you.
Sorry. Sorry. Wow.
That's sort of revolutionary.
Yep. Because it makes the sex better. You know what I'm saying, fellas?
Does it?
Yeah.
Explain that to me. Unpack that for me.
Yeah, that's fine. And I don't need to thread the needle at all on this one. So all this stuff, it fits very easily, because you could just stand there and just. It slides in like Lincoln Logs.
Oh, so you're thinking about standing sex, that it would work out, because the penis would be approximately the same height as the vagina.
I don't care how you do it, but when you touch toes, you're also touching tips or taints, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're all matched up.
It would actually work better if the guy was slightly shorter, right? Like, if, you know what I mean? Like,
I can tell you from experience, no.
No? Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Anyway, what if I was Michael Jackson after the Pepsi thing when his hair was on fire? Wasn't that crazy?
If I was Kylie Jenner.
So you're still trying to find different ways to be Michael Jackson, is what you're saying.
I can think of one way you could do it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, you
get
Dr.
Conrad Murray on the phone.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I was going to say I could overdose on like barbituates or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking you could of something sing. Else.
What was your way? Yeah, I want to hear.
Yeah, Dan, what was your way?
I don't think I'll be threading that needle.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. A lot of unthreaded needles on the show here today.
That's fine. I think I know what the top three is going
to
be.
And it's
tonight.
Time to introduce our new sponsor, The Yarn Barn, for all your threaded needle needs.
We don't
head
have
on down
a,
to the
we
Yarn
don't
ha,
we
Barn.
We don't have any sponsors right now, do we?
Head on down
no,
to the Yarn Barn.
We don't. I got to close. I have the image of all. I searched Blanket Jackson Balcony, and there's like 50 pictures in front of me on the screen.
Ooh,
I want
to see that.
I got to switch it. Actually, Dan, can you bring that up?
Sure.
Thank the balcony you. Pick?
It's yeah, pretty crazy.
I mean, it is crazy for sure.
We should honestly watch it, because it's like, I kind of forgot how close
the
baby
came. Yeah, he fully
like
takes the baby and puts it over the
Yeah,
rail.
And then it's like the baby's squirming, right? Because it's a baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the baby feels
the
danger.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, because at the time I don't know why I had an opinion of this, because I was truly a child when it was happening, but I was like, why are they doing him like so hard like this? But now as an adult, I look back and I say, no, this is very strange that he did this.
Yeah. 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 Oh, he apologized though. So
Jacko.
Come on.
Great nickname. Yeah. That's
really
such a
good
nickname.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry I dangled my baby.
Oh, there's the video
window.
Up there, Dan. If you go to Michael Jackson dangles his baby. This is from 2010. I'm so excited to see the video quality on this.
Oh yeah, this
probably
is
one of the first episodes. Oh.
Most replayed. Let's. Holy shit!
Holy shit! Oh, it's a lot.
They were really high up. God.
Oh, he did it for a second. Whatever.
Because I think when he did it, he was like, "Oh my god, I almost dropped the baby there. Let's go."
That's so crazy to do it for a bunch of like Germans too. Like you're or he was somewhere in Europe, a bunch of like European fans. Like, what are you?
It's also crazy to just be much? Like, what's going on in your life where you're thinking, you know what I should do this afternoon? Let's head on down to Michael Jackson's hotel and see if I can get a glimpse of that baby blanket.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Jackson fans were and are like totally psychotic, right?
I get that, but I just like, I couldn't understand spending any of my life doing anything remotely like that.
Yeah. I mean,
is all I'm saying.
I don't get it either. I just realized I could use Kiki. I could recreate the picture with me dangling Kiki over. Mm-hmm. I won't do it
what
over
the
a balcony,
fuck?
Of course.
You should
don't,
do that,
don't even suggest that, man.
No, I disagree with Luke. I think you should do it.
Yeah. I want to say, though, I go back on my previous statement. I actually think it's fine he dangled the baby. It's his fucking kid. What? He just holds it over for a fucking second. So who gives a fuck?
I think the picture makes it seem longer because you're looking at the picture for longer.
Should he have done it? No, but being a parent's fucking hard, okay?
For sure. You look at the picture and you're like, wow. If you look at the picture for 30 seconds in your head, you're like, wow, he did this for 30 seconds, you know?
Yes.
You sort of trick yourself into thinking that's how long, but that's just how long you're looking at the picture, and a picture is different from a video.
So you think when you look at a picture, how long you look at the picture determines how long you think the event was?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I guess I don't think that, but I but I see where you're coming from, kind of.
Yeah. I think it makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Damn, he must have been holding that baby out there for like 3 minutes.
That's honestly what it feels like looking at the picture.
No, I agree with you that looking at the picture, it does feel like it was like, oh wow, he really just did that for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Do you consider the spiritual successor to this news story to me? And I don't know if you guys agree with this, but the spiritual successor to this would be Balloon Boy.
Mm.
You can see how they're sort of related a little bit.
Child endangerment.
Yeah, except it wasn't because like the kid was just in the garage hiding or whatever, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, he was. That's what they said. They thought that the kid was in the... God, that was so funny when everyone thought the kid was in a balloon.
His ass did the movie Up for real. Yeah, I like that shit.
Do you remember when they went on like national TV for like a week after that? Because everyone was like... It wasn't like... He accidentally let it slip, I think. The kid accidentally let it slip that it was like all a lie. But do you remember when the kid farted on TV?
Yes, damn, dude, I do. Yeah. I forgot about that, though.
I do not remember that.
Dan, are you looking that up right now?
Yeah, I am.
I definitely know what the predecessor to this, to the blanket incident
Okay,
was.
I'm interested. I'm going to see if I can guess.
The well?
No.
Oh, Kid Down the Well is a good one.
That is a good one. But I mean, I think there's a very obvious parallel here.
The Lindbergh baby.
No. No, you're going way too far back.
Way too far back? Okay. And this is like a little kid, something, a kid being endangered.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Not in, well, not, no, like a kid dying.
Oh, the Twilight Zone movie?
No. No, real, a real
Columbine?
Kid. No.
Oh, okay. Just asking.
Can you give us another hint?
There's a song about it. Like there's a clear predecessor, musician, child.
Oh, Eric Clapton.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was the clear predecessor to this incident.
Yeah, but he wasn't dangling the kid out.
No. Definitely not. Yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah.
This is Michael Jackson just wanting to top Eric Clapton. You know what I mean? Like, come on now. You know? Yeah.
And he did. Who has the more enduring legacy? More ways than one.
That's true. And Eric Clapton is kind of like a
really bad guy.
I mean, really bad guy. And like, you know, post COVID, like even worse.
So. Yeah. Really bad guy.
Yeah. He was posting songs, right? He was doing like little like Mike Love style, like posting all the COVID songs.
Him and like, I think Van Morrison as well. They were doing like full like anti-vaxxer like albums and shit.
Ugh.
Yep.
And that's just like so funny to me. It's funny to me when like a musician from like the 60s or 70s is like still making music today. As if anyone is going to care about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we have your songs that we like already. We don't need any more.
I mean, the new Rolling Stones album is kind of fun.
Is it actually?
No.
There's no chance that's true, right?
The lead single, I heard the lead single and it actually like wasn't, I don't really like the Rolling Stones anyway, but like the lead single, I was like, this is fine. Like it's, I wouldn't listen to it. I don't know who it's for. It's kind of like last week when we were talking about all the guys in my mentions about how Metallica's new album is great.
Right. Or whatever. Yeah, it's like, the same thing. Like how can you possibly think that? Right?
But I
like,
will say I did hear the lead single from the Rolling Stones new album and I was like, okay.
Like, did it sound like an older Rolling Stones song, kind of? Because that's all I
like,
want.
Like, it was just like, it was just fun. It was just like fun to listen to. It wasn't, like, I would never listen to it again, but I was just like, okay, they're all in their 80s. This is like fine.
Yeah. If you, if you're grading on a curve, I guess.
It's not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's okay. Like that song that Kanye, Kesha, and Paul McCartney are on. Do you remember that song?
4 or 5 seconds?
Yes. I love
that's
that
Rihanna,
song.
That's Rihanna, I think, not Kesha.
Rihanna, right? Rihanna, not Kesha. Yes, yes, yes. And I see, I think that's okay. It's like, that's kind of fun because it's like, let's give the old bloke one turn around the block, folks, with the real famous people.
And sorry, Luke, how would sort of like an English guy sort of say that?
Let's get this bloke one round the wheel, it. Something like that. Yeah. They only use their consonants so good.
You just said bloke, and I was like, I'm going to need to hear this. And
that was good. Yeah. That was good. That was
fun. Can I got to admit something, though. The first time I said it, I thought I was doing it in an English accent.
No, you weren't. That was just your normal voice.
Yeah. I realized that when John asked, but I thought.
Do you want to hear the balloon boy farting?
Yes, please.
Yeah, here you go.
We did this for the show.
Man.
Can we hear that again?
Falcon Heenan, a sick name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Were those both farts?
No. It
sounded like there was maybe two farts. Dancing,
yeah.
Okay.
One for sure.
It's so crazy. This was 14 years ago, and the video quality looks like it's from 50 years ago.
Yeah, it looks like it was filmed on a potato.
So bad. Yeah. Jesus Christ. That is one thing I miss about Twitter is the people who would retweet like the CNN Balloon Boy post from 2009, just randomly in the middle of the day, or like celebrities talking about Balloon Boy. Because I feel like there was one really good post that was like, a nation holds its breath. A boy and like a boy. I gotta fucking find this one, but I really miss all those posts because Blue Sky doesn't have those. You know, it wasn't around during Balloon Boy, unfortunately.
Did the family get in trouble for Balloon Boy?
Like, I think
was there backlash?
Yeah, they did because didn't they have to like scramble a bunch of jets or something? I guess they weren't gonna like shoot down the balloon, but
I think they were considering it.
Were they? Because it was like going into him? Like I think they did get in trouble for it because like. You know, they had to use like government and like military resources or whatever to get the balloon. God, Balloon Boy. That's some funny ass shit.
That is cool to be in a balloon, I'd say.
I can't find the
We should do it, Stefan. We should recreate Balloon Boy, but with you in there.
I agree.
Yeah, I think we could give that a try. So they got in trouble for it was like a hoax, I guess. So they got in trouble for it. But I can't find the really good post about it. But you used to be able to like search Twitter back when like the blue check mark like meant something. You could search for like verified posts about Balloon Boy and find like celebrities' old posts about Balloon Boy, and it was really
save
funny.
Him.
Yeah, it was so good because it was 2009 too, so it was all like manual retweets, and you only had 140 characters. So
retweet this for awareness.
God, it was really.
And
good.
Then what was? I don't even remember like the parents were faking it or like what was the?
Yeah, I think it was just to get like attention. Because like,
and that's what happened before podcasts.
Let's see.
You know, now you can just, if you want attention, you can just have a podcast and then you don't have to fake being in a balloon or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Something really nuts.
Asked why he was hiding. And we heard this here. Falcon said to his father, "You guys said that we did this for the show." It doesn't mention on Wikipedia that he then blasted out a big fart.
Wait, so it's the same clip where he's admitting it for the first time.
And he farts.
Damn.
It's so good.
That is cool.
Dumbass
kid.
So the dad went to jail for 90 days and had to pay $36,000.
Worth it. We could afford that here at BPHQ.
Yeah.
Put you in a balloon and see what happens.
We can?
Anyway, time to move on to our social media updates.
What a fucking good segue. discuss what popped up in your feed. Who are you following? What did you see? Sports or politics, tweets and skis, hot takes on the TL or fast food freaks. It's our social media update.
Luke, we always like to start with the guests. What's going on your social media?
Well, this is it's not a specific update. Well, I guess it is for me. It's a thing that a new trend in my life, which is that I actually think the social media I take in the most now is Facebook stories, because I find them very fascinating, because I think we're in this sort of as we're in this short form content world. I don't really, the other ones are kind of getting shitty. You know, TikTok was fun for a while. Now that's kind of all ads. YouTube is just sort of like Minecraft of, like, for that's meant for little kids, of people, adults acting weird. Instagram's just podcast clips you don't want to watch. But Facebook stories is really good, because you get to see people that you haven't thought about or knew were alive in about 15 years. I mean, you're seeing updates from people you worked with at your grocery store job in high school. You're seeing people you thought had full mental breakdowns in college, but now are doing something else and still kind of seem like they're having a mental breakdown. Or just like your uncle's friend that you became friends with because it was 2010. And I legitimately really like it, because it's this like portal into just people that I thought I hadn't, you know, kind of went out of my mind.
That is nice. Yeah, I'm not on Facebook, but I know John is, right?
Yeah, I'm just, well, this is just making me think, like, what should I look at my, like, I'm going to look at my Facebook stories right now and just see if there's sort of a parallel.
Every website has a story, like Twitch has a stories feature now, which is so fucking funny to me.
Okay, so we've got a girl in the gym. And then we've got another woman I'm friends with whose kid built a fort.
All right.
That's okay. Exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Then we've got Canucks Army. I don't even cheer for the Canucks.
Okay.
And it's just pictures of the Canucks winning a game, it looks like.
All right.
Then we've got, a girl I worked with at Safeway 20 years ago.
Yes.
Who works at a fashion boutique, who is posting pictures of the dresses, I guess, they're featuring right now.
All right.
Great.
Okay.
One of my former students who is now a bodybuilder and is looking ripped as shit.
Wow.
Posting a picture of himself looking ripped.
Nice.
Past guest Jacob Samuel posting a stand-up clip.
Okay.
And
it
then,
does
wow,
feel like an
a
actual
girl
throwback.
I used to curl with posting 10 stories.
Oh my God.
Okay. Of her and her dog out for a walk in one location.
So that's the smoking gun, because that says 10 stories. It's you know, in 2024, everybody kind of knows how stories work. So then you start looking at that person and you say, what's going on? You know, and you see the slow unraveling of a mind or perhaps a manic episode. And that's sort of something you get to take in as the observer.
Yeah.
And with no like cost either.
Yeah, because I feel like Instagram is more like self promo stuff than anything. And whereas Facebook, this seems like it just feels like Facebook from 10 years ago, but
exactly.
In story form. Yeah.
But no one uses Facebook that way on the posts and stuff, because it's just like AIs talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I follow this hilarious Facebook page that's just cool engineering tricks, but it's like, so there's thousands of comments on every single photo that are just like a million bot accounts going, wow, this is amazing. So cool. And it's like, I can't even really figure out why, like what they get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just to like, there's more comments happening here, so maybe it gets pushed ahead in the algorithm or something? Like, is it as simple as that?
Oh, yeah. Like you buy the bots for the comments.
Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah, but it's. Do you get money for having a Facebook post do well?
I don't. I have no idea. Like someone.
I don't
think
you get money, but I guess you'd get like exposure for whatever it is you're trying to sell. Or
sure.
Yeah, someone bought us like 3,000 fake followers on Twitch recently. And we at this point we had it's back now, but we had a notification every time there was a follow. And it was that clip of Vern Troyer driving a motor scooter into a wall and from like Celebrity Rehab or something.
This happened like while you guys were live.
Yes.
You got follow bot it.
So it kept going off over. So we had to turn it off. But my theory for that, because I think I saw this happen with Tom Walker maybe, is that they do that like a month in advance, because a lot of times what people will have is they'll have, you can only post in this chat if you've been following for like a week or 10 days or something.
Right.
So they do that. And then after 10 days, all the bots will post like a bunch of promo shit or something, and it's like way harder to deal with because they're already following.
Gotcha.
So I think that might be part of it with Twitch, at least. With Facebook, I have no idea. I don't know what you get out of it. But I love that everything fucking sucks now, though. It's great.
Oh, except Facebook stories. I'm telling you, this is there's so little algorithm there because so few people are using this feature of this website. It's very pure in a way that reminds me of like old social media.
That's nice.
I think you're right. I'm kind of just looking at it more now. Yeah, another former student of mine just got bought a house and bought a keychain that says "Gutsy Little Lady" on it.
Wow!
Yes,
love
exactly.
That.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of fun.
Gutsy little lady.
That's great.
She's very cool. She's a good. She's doing a lot of cool shit. Oh, here we go, and we've got a. I'm looking for 10 busy women who want to lose 20 pounds in the next 90 days using the Bikini Sculpt blueprint without restricting food or spending hours in the gym.
Yep.
I mean, I want that too, to be honest. I would love to look good in a bikini without changing how I eat.
Wow.
So that's, okay. So
well,
I mean,
that's great. That's really good.
Maybe I got to get into the Facebook stories game, you know?
Yeah. It's nice to have a positive social media update because mine is really quite nasty.
What else is new?
Yeah. Luke,
you piece of shit.
You're familiar with Joey from Joey's World Tour?
Yeah. Is that one of the food guys?
Yeah. So
he's the big guy.
Yeah. And he's kind of nasty and disgusting.
Yeah.
And he recently has not been posting as much, but he started up again for various reasons. He's also posting a lot on TikTok. But I sent this to Dan. This is a review of the KFC Chizza, which is the chicken pizza.
Okay. Yeah. This is the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah. So we're about 5 minutes into this video.
That's what
an
Italian guy says when his wife commits adultery on him.
Chizza. Yes.
There we go.
Sorry.
The chizza is a big hit with all the fast food review freaks.
Really?
Oh, they like it.
I want one.
Well, because it's like really stupid and bad, right?
It's basically chicken parm, right?
Yeah.
Like KFC chicken parm.
Yeah,
I could see that being not terrible.
But if you look at it, like the cheese is not melted properly.
Oh,
so it's just like shredded. It's like really, really bad. But
do we have it in Canada?
I don't know that we do. Because I think it started in the Philippines, maybe. It was somewhere overseas.
Yeah, that sounds right. Let me see. KFC Chizza Canada.
Damn, I might get one on the way where I'm going.
You honestly should.
I
would like to know.
It does look like they do have it.
Okay.
It looks like they do have it in Canada.
Man, maybe I'll have to order one for this or for the stream or something at some point. Fuck, that could be a good sub goal, actually, because this shit is disgusting. But anyway, Joey loves it. We're about 5 minutes into this video. We're going to play it for about 30, 35 seconds. And near the end of the 30, 35 seconds or so, I want you to pay attention. Listen for
it is still only United
still,
States. Right
okay,
now.
We don't have it here.
My apologies. Apologies.
But
I do want
you about 35, 40 seconds. I want you to listen for a specific sound.
Oh, so he farts again.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah. Why don't we just watch it?
It's some Italian food. I usually end up with chicken parm or spaghetti and meatballs.
He's a funny guy.
Spaghetti and meatball. So,
God, the noises. The noises are so crazy.
Try it out. Tell me what you think.
Dan, can we see the timestamp?
No. But thanks for stopping by, everybody.
Okay, about 5 seconds.
I really dug this. It's
okay. Dan, maybe pause it and let's play that back once more. So I think it starts about 5:30-ish.
Yeah, let's play it back again.
I really dug this. It's so good.
Is that just
a motorcycle passing by the car, though?
No, it's not. And it's not.
Because he does a little lift with his butt, like you might do at the end of a fart if you're a cartoon.
And we've determined that he's on, like, it's like fabric seats. It's not leather seats, so it's not the seats.
It's definitely fabric seats.
Yeah, and he's made that exact noise before. So it's sort of, and in the comments, no one noticed the fart at all. In the comments, Luke, do you know this about his comments? That they're all very horny?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all Stefan going, Joey, I'd like to fuck you.
No, it's like the seat sniffing crew. It started with the seat sniffing crew. And then the big thing now is that, so Joey gave me a chizza in the dungeon, but the white stuff wasn't cheese, I guess implying that it was cum. Here we go again. These seats won't sniff themselves. I was waiting for this. Just don't cheat on me, Daddy. You're all mine. So see, someone did the pun, John. With
I came up with it first.
But this is my absolute favorite thing about Joey Luke, and this is what gives him some pathos. I would say,
sure.
Is that he,
some pathos?
Yeah, I think that's the correct thing to use here, because basically he started out very serious about doing like food reviews.
Wait, why did you unrecommend that
Dan,
Jinxie?
What was the video Jinxie, that you just unrecommended to
that
yourself?
Jinxie podcast.
It was a Jinxie interview with Sneeko.
Okay, yeah, that sucks.
I don't even know what that means. I don't even understand the words you
just
said.
It's not good.
You don't want to know.
I really can't think of a video I'd want to watch less than that.
That's really bad, yeah.
Yeah.
The only word I understood was interview. I did not understand anything else that was happening there.
So Luke, I just wanted to update our listeners that there is a new Joey fart. This is eight days ago this video dropped. But Luke, what's so interesting about Joey to me is that, and I can show you the video afterwards or on stream at some point, but there's one particular video where, and you can pinpoint the exact moment that everything changed for him in terms of his comments, is that he was getting kind of like these weird, like jokey, like horny comments, the seat sniffing crew and stuff. And then he did a video where at the beginning of the video, he was like, okay guys, a time to be serious here for a second. The comments are getting a little weird and sexual, and I'd like them to stop, because if they keep going like that, I'm just going to stop making videos. And then they just like exploded from that point. And now that's like all it is. And now he's replying to the sexual comments where it's like, oh, Daddy Joe. And again, this is going to get clipped, and Dan, just get ready to edit this. But it's like, Daddy Joey, please fucking piss down my throat and fuck my ass. And like, it'll be straight up that comment, and Joey will like the comment and reply to it and be like, woo woo, Daddy Joey's coming down to the dungeon, get ready.
So it's not even just likes, he's like getting it on the like
he's
terminology.
He's completely embraced it because he realizes that's the only people left who watches videos anymore. It's so fascinating to me. Anyway, that's my update.
So where is the pathos there, I guess? I that's the part.
It's a great question, Luke, that we're all sort of wondering here.
I guess I thought maybe that meant something else, but... John, what's going on your social media?
Well, we have, you know, one of our faves here on the show, Elon Musk, had a great tweet this week. And I just want to say, Krang T. Nelson, friend of the show, just made a great, we had a great little Twitter interaction, and the joke made me laugh out loud. So Elon, as you know, I'm a bit of a Jeopardy expert. We played Jeopardy on the Go Off Kings, and I have a new Jeopardy podcast called What Is a Jeopardy
Podcast.
Didn't
he post this during our Jeopardy stream?
Yes, he did, actually. Yeah. So this is Elon's tweet, which fundamentally misunderstands a lot of things about the show Jeopardy. But he says, woke Jeopardy ideas, .. difficult questions that require context for $400. Is it better to A, cleanse the earth in nuclear fire, or B, vote Republican? So,
what?
And so I don't know what that even means. Jeopardy. That's woke Jeopardy, apparently.
He's so fucking stupid.
And then
stupid,
the
dude.
First reply to this is, the worst thing is that we are already asking ourselves this question.
That's not, well, like, I mean, obviously you know this, but that's not how Jeopardy works.
No, it's definitely not how Jeopardy works. So then Krang T. Nelson quote tweeted it with, it would be so funny to watch Elon go on Celebrity Jeopardy and get his shit absolutely rocked by like Craig Robinson and Bethany Frankel. just sweaty and scowling with a monstrously negative amount of money on his board while Daryl from The Office runs up the score. And then I replied, he's going to be so shocked when he learns the questions aren't multiple choice. And then Krang replied, and the answers aren't opinions that you might have. And then Krang with one of my favorite tweets, host, all right, Mr. Musk, this is for all the Jeopardies, boobs or butt. Elon smirking, it's a trick question. Both are equally awesome sauce.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, love that exchange with our good friend KTN.
That's really
and
good.
Elon just another beautiful tweet from his beautiful, beautiful mind.
I hope he
Oh wow, you're not even saying redacted anymore.
I don't think you need to redact it at this point. I mean, he's not listening to the show.
Hey, I'll say what I keep saying, which is if I see Mr. Beast in public, I'm gonna fucking kill him, execution style. Like I'm It's going to be, instead of a grassy knoll, it's just going to be next to him with a fucking. I hate that motherfucker. If this gets back to him, fine by me.
Hopefully I remember to edit that, but
you can sweep like part of it, I think. But
I think, yeah, I'll have to if this is going on YouTube.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's kind of his home base. Yeah, it's his domain.
So I went to the Streamer Awards a couple weeks ago, and I kept saying it on stream to a point where I was like, if Mr. Beast is there, I'm gonna kill him. And I said it like at least a dozen times, but luckily I didn't get in trouble.
Yeah, was he there? I know you had some of his Feastables.
His bars were there. They remade the Feastable bars to be less disgusting, and I guess they succeeded.
Feastables is such an insane name to me because it really does sound like cat food.
Yeah,
right. Like it's such a bad name. And are they still pretty bad or?
Before they were like dog shit, they kind of tasted like you know when you get Easter candy from the grocery store, but it's like generic chocolate, and you're this sucks. It tasted like that.
Okay,
and
so now like waxy, it's, sort of just like shitty chocolate.
Like a chocolate silver dollar.
Exactly. Okay. Just like, and no brand, just like chocolate. And so it was that, and now it's like a little bit better than that.
Right. Now it's like Hershey's level, probably.
Right. Which is funny because this whole thing is it's better than Hershey's, but
it's such a low bar.
Right. And then it's not. And that's the funniest thing to me. Yeah.
The other very funny reply to Elon's tweet was also test detects IRL NPCs. And Elon just replied with the 100 emoji.
So God, dude.
Just a lot of guys who have no idea what they're talking about at each other.
The test is like
answering the difficult Jeopardy question, I guess.
If you get the question wrong, you're a woke NPC.
You're an IRL NPC.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and really? That's bad. It's bad to do that, I think. Anyway, John, segue time.
Not good. Not good. Speaking of things that aren't good, how about our Blocktail?
What did you tweet? You brought receipts, Blocktail. Woo! No longer can see the post. It's a Blocktail. Woo! You probably deserved it. It's a Blocktail.
Now, Luke, very excited for this. I know that you have a legendary Blocktail, really. So the floor is yours. Hit us.
Yeah. So this is something that happened to me 5 years ago now, which is crazy, but I think is important to set the scene of it. It feels like a story very from 2019 in the history of Twitter, I think. I was screamed at on the internet for several days for ostensibly what it came down to was threatening to kill Mr. Peanut a bunch in his replies. And so
in the, like, they had a Twitter account for Mr. Peanut.
Like verified. Was that the era of like the baby Peanut or?
We'll get to that. Cause this is before the era. And it's quite a long saga.
Please.
So it started spring 2019 and I was just doing it for cause I thought it was funny. I mean, like most things, like there was no goal, but I was trying to pull up some of the ones, like he would say stuff like, could it be time for the classic cheese balls can to get an update? Behold my latest dispenser design. Think you can top it? Share your creation below. And then I would reply, looks like shit, moron.
Okay.
So, and then it kind of, it did get crazier, this wasn't the one I was banned for, but very close to it was, anybody want a peanut? And I said, I want a bullet in your brain. Now, mind you, I'm not like, I could see the likes on this because I have these screenshots. He got 60,000 likes. I got 32. It's not like the shit was like blowing up his feed or anything, which is important for what happened to me. And then finally, I got banned because he tweeted cashew in the snack aisle. How about that? Cash me outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I will fly anywhere in the world to kill you. Just name the place. And then Bad Baby, the originator of that phrase, right? Catch me outside, how about that? Responded to my tweet, thank you. And then I got banned.
No.
Yeah. And then I got banned. So that was it.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So you think like Planters or whoever's running this account didn't even really notice that you were doing this, but then Bad Baby amplifying what you said is what got...
It must have felt good to get thanked by her, though. I feel right. I someone appreciates what you're doing.
The
you
least
know?
I could, you know, the least I could get for the horrors I would endure. So and then I was banned for you may not make specific threats of violence or wish for the physical harm, death, or disease of an individual or group of people. So that happens, and then I'm jokingly tweeting like, "Well, Mr. PETA isn't a person, so like, shouldn't I not be banned?" And like a friend. Like really like a friend from college, but that I hadn't talked to in a long time was writing at Vice and contacted me about writing an article. So I write this article entitled, I was banned from Twitter for threatening to kill Mr. Peanut. And just kind of saying the story was kind of tongue in cheek. I kind of ended it with like a little, isn't that like kind of funny? Because this was very around like the time in 2019 on Twitter of people getting banned for like stuff was happening. Like, it's like they tweet at Lindsey Graham, I'm going to come to your house and shoot you in the head execution style. And then the FBI would come back to their house.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like it was very in that, like, actually guys, like this shit has consequences. So I was kind of saying like, oh, isn't it kind of weird that I got banned for this, but you still see people doing that fucking every day on this website.
Yeah.
And it got posted, and people did not people were not very nice to me about it. specifically, a class of people that I would say are social media managers. They did not like it. I would say that was the primary suspect. That was the primary person that was very mad at me, and was really I would say literal hundreds of both tweet replies and also my Instagram was found and Instagram DMs and messages about what an asshole I am. Because ostensibly their take on it was that what I did was the same as threatening the person who is running the social media account.
Right.
Which I've got a few issues with. First of all, there was a lot of, this was sort of caged in this language of, they're just an intern, dude, and you're like making their life harder. Not true. There's never, interns are not running the social media accounts, especially not by 2019. It's someone getting paid six figures to write, like, cash you outside, how about that?
Yeah.
And then secondarily, I have a couple people that I won't say who it was, but a couple of the big verified accounts at the time that I was kind of surprised by that I won't name names here did not like it. No, it sounds like you were banned for repeatedly harassing and sending death threats to a person who is doing a tough job for probably not a lot of money. And I take issue with this for a couple reasons. First of all, again, it is making a fair amount of money. And I made clear, and this is even before I wrote this article, like even when I was just doing this, I was like, well, I thought about it. And it was very clear. I was always talking to the character of Mr. Peanut.
Of course.
Like,
right.
At no point
that's
was
why
I
it's
like,
funny.
Right. Yeah. At no point I wasn't like, who's ever running this account, I'm going to fucking track you down. And I'm going to fucking kill you, dog. But people were like sending me, like this woman sent me this story. She's like, She said, you know, I ran merch for this company. I don't remember what it was. And this guy was DMing me and threatening me unless I sent him a hoodie. So I did it so he would leave me the fuck alone. And I was like, totally, ma'am. I'm so sorry that happened to you. It's really not exactly what I was doing, but that is bad.
That is bad.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it just became this thing where I sort of became to use a phrase of the era, y'all, I was the main character for the day, and it, boy, it felt bad. You don't want to be the main character, but instead of shrimp tails on in the damn cereal, I was just trying to make the people laugh.
I think it's funny to threaten to kill Mr. Peanut. That's fair. Threatening to kill Mr. Met, Mr. Peanut. I guess Mr. Met is like a guy in the costume, but like, you know what I mean? Like the character threatening to kill like a cartoon character or like an advertising character, that is funny. Yeah, it's always funny to do.
And it was interesting. There was a really funny one. Because I was looking through it back today where a guy was saying, he was like, it's the exact same thing as going to Disney World and going up to Mickey Mouse and punching him in the stomach. And I was like,
it's like, not at all.
No.
Not even remotely related to that.
No,
it's not at all. Even a little bit. It's
the only
not,
thing that they have in common is that those are both funny.
Yeah, if I saw someone do that, I'd be laughing.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember, okay, the one person I'll name because I've just always hated this guy on Twitter. Do you guys remember Joshua Rush on Twitter? He was this like dweeby kid who was like, actually, I'm an intern at the White House. And he would always brag about it. And yeah. He said, man, I'm part of the social media team for a member of Congress. I knew when I was getting into it that I'd see some vitriol, but the random dude running social media for Mr. Peanut doesn't need death threats. Why would you think that's something necessary in this world?
Oh my God.
And it's
God.
Just like, shut up. It's like, it was a real big wake-up call for me where I'm like, right, I forget that a bunch of this website are scold nerds.
Yes.
But
yes.
Like, I'm never really interacting with them, but then I did something that pissed them off. Pissed them the fuck off.
I had that happen with the Steakums guy where I made a fake screen grab from I think the New Yorker or someone did a profile on him.
Oh, because it was like the guy's son, right? Wasn't it the...
Well... That's what I said in the fake screen grab is I said that he was David Koresh's son. And it's like obviously not true. And then everyone fucking believed it.
Dude, I think I believed it, which is really funny. It's what we're finding out in real time. Because I was like, yeah, there's a son element.
It's also like, to me, I don't know, but I just don't have an affinity for Mr. Peanut. Like, I can get... like Mickey Mouse,
yes.
Or, you know, like there's sort of the, and not that, again, I'm not like a Disney adult or something, but I can at least understand that.
Emotional
of like, if
attachment.
You're saying, I'm going to kill Mickey Mouse, or I'm going to kill Bugs Bunny, or like, you know, they're sort of iconic in a way, but the idea of like Mr. Peanut has never, there's no Mr. Peanut movie. There's no one in a Mr. Peanut costume. There's no, like, so I don't get, like, to me, it's the most harmless form of doing what you're doing.
Right.
Because there is absolutely no real world consequence. And if people are saying, oh, well, this, you know, the intern could be afraid for their life or whatever, that is just a fundamental misunderstanding for the purpose of scolding you.
Exactly. It's like, and that was kind of the issue I had with it. It's like, so in your world, the person running this account is so fucking stupid that they think when I'm saying I'm going to put a bullet in your peanut brain, I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is, I don't think that's a good faith argument. Okay. So then the last part of this is, so that happened spring/summer 2019. And then the Super Bowl ad where they kill Mr. Peanut was that next winter.
Yeah.
And I don't have proof of it, but I mean, like, if the thing that made your brand get the most awareness in the last year was someone talking about killing Mr. Peanut, and then you're an ad executive and you're like, huh, maybe we should do something with this for the Super Bowl. I mean, I think the shoe fits a little bit, right?
They owe you money.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
That is crazy. God damn.
That's bullshit.
You mentioned the catch me outside thing. Mm-hmm. Remember Ellen's tweet about that?
No.
I'm going to send it here. It was okay. First of all, do you remember the guy who was like, hey, Wendy's, if I get a million retweets on this, like, can I have free nuggets for life?
Yeah.
Yes, or whatever. I remember that.
He went on Ellen's show. And then Dan, can you put this tweet up? I think this is a candidate for the worst post of all time. It's
love
so
that.
What
it's
a
so,
crazy time that is that guy would go on Ellen. That's
I know.
So like it's such a different era.
I think about this post a lot because
if we could just get on Ellen, we could probably
so
get
bad.
Free retweets. Oh my God.
Also because of the way she spelled it as well.
Yeah,
it's like
rough.
Offensive, you know?
When she gives
so
you that
bad?
Look, that looks like,
oh,
that. What's the
God.
INFJ stare? You know what I know?
Yeah.
You know what I, yeah. That's so funny.
Oh, fuck.
It's cool. Oh. That guy has 71,000 followers.
That's so insane. He's followed by John Cena. That's
yo.
Oh,
I mean, wow. Doesn't John Cena follow like 200,000?
He does.
People?
Yeah, he follows
his
me.
Thing,
so.
Right?
Yeah. So he needed 18 million retweets, and I guess that's his pinned post, and he got however many. How many did he get, Dan?
What? I'm supposed to know this
3
shit?
3 million.
Oh, he didn't even get 18 million.
No.
Well, fuck this.
He didn't get free nugs, did he?
No, I don't think
so. And it's only a year of free nugs.
And by the way, the way a lot of those companies do a year's supply of stuff is they'll give you like 52 gift cards or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can like, get you one, eat these a week, once a week. And they yeah, there's that's yeah, a year. Yeah. Give me a fucking
Vancouver
that's a month
comedian
a
Sean break. Proudlove, who had a joke about he won a Kraft dinner contest that was a free. It was Kraft dinner for a year.
Yeah.
And it was whatever half of 365 is. Like it was like 180 something boxes.
Yeah.
And he was like, even Kraft dinner's like, you probably shouldn't eat this shit every day. that's a good line. We have a good listener block as well. This one kind of sounds like almost like a rom-com or something, but it's a fun block. This is from Arlo. I caught this double block a few years ago while I was living in Paris. At the time, I was new to the city and on the Tinder app pretty regularly trying to make connections. One night, I matched with this stylish Greek woman living in the neighborhood. We meet, and over drinks, she tells me about her job in journalism and her awful new roommate, a tarot reading yoga instructor from Valencia. Things go well, and we end up in bed. Two nights later, I match with someone else who seems pretty cool. For whatever reason, we got straight into some spicy texting. She ended up coming over and we hooked up without much chatting. Afterward, we're laying around and she tells me about her job as a yoga instructor and tarot reader and her awful new roommate, a journalist from Athens. At this point, I'm starting to put two and two together and I ask if she's from Valencia. And of course, she's like, "See, how did you know?" Being a massive coward, I say that I recognize the accent. However, by the next day, my conscience gets the better of me. I texted the first woman, the journalist, to say, "I think I accidentally had a date with your roommate last night. It wasn't intentional, and I hope that doesn't make things weird." Then, like an idiot, I tried to lighten the mood with, "Maybe you two have more in common than you think." There was no response, so I go about my day. After a few hours, I look on Tinder and I see that they've both unmatched me. And then I go back and check on WhatsApp, and sure enough, they've both blocked me there too. So that's how I ended up being blocked by two perfectly nice people. I'd like to think that in the end, they were able to become friends and bond over my terrible, no good pipe game. Thanks for listening. Love the show, that's Arlo.
Really good. Thank
that's
you, Arlo.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I do hope that's actually what happened.
Yeah.
They both like, blocked it. It's like clearly then they had a moment talking and bonding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's beautiful.
Maybe that's what the universe needed to happen for these two roommates from Greece and Spain who were forced into a situation in Paris. If you want to send in a listener block, you can do so at blocked@blockparty.com. You can also donate to the show at patreon.com/blockparty. $5 a month gets you access to 3 bonus episodes every single month. This past week, we had Jacob Samuel on in person for a mailbag episode that was, Stefan, I think fair to say we had probably the dumbest conversation about a question we've ever had on the history
of the
program.
I think it was the stupidest thing we've ever talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't miss that. We also finished up our D&D series with Jesse and DB from YKS, which was super fun. And our good friend Josh Burgle DM'd that as well. And probably the perfect ending to a D&D series. So you can check that out. We also have ad-free episodes. If you hate listening to the ads, you can check those out. It's all there. We've got merch discounts and a ton of other stuff. So check that out. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Block Party Pod, on Blue Sky at Block Party. And if you want to watch the video of this episode, it's youtube.com/@blockedparty. And as always, if you like the show, please tell a friend. We are now here at the end of the show. That means it's time for the top three.
Three, two, one.
Trois, deux, un.
Uno, 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 uno.
Mustard.
Three.
Socks.
Deux.
Girlfriends.
Uno, 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 uno.
All right, Luke, I know you've been very nervous for the top three, given yep. Stefan's horrible explanation of what was about to happen, but it is time for the top three. Do you have a topic for us, please?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it all episode after I got a little bit more context for it. Can I think of something funnier? And the answer is no, I did not. So I'm going to go with my original first thought. Best thought, top three things to eat at the airport, y'all. Let's hit it.
Ooh, I like this. This is good.
That's good. That's very good.
Okay.
Now, is this at the airport or does it also count being on the plane, but you purchased it from the airport?
I'm going to say as long as it was I just don't want seeing what you brought from home. That sucks. Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, it needs to be food that is only found at the airport.
Got it.
Or okay. Not only found, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Purchase
there. Yep.
Yeah.
You're okay. So you're number three, Luke, please.
My number three is going to be, I'm going to say McDonald's, because I do think when you see the McDonald's at the airport, there's a reason it's the most popular. And that's because A, it's going to be cheaper a little bit than everything else. And you know, it's going to be fire because it is still McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a safe bet. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Stefan, you're number three.
I'm going to go with a big bag of peanut butter M&Ms that I bought at Hudson News, and it cost $18. Wonderful. I'm going to eat that the whole flight. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
That's a good call. My number three is the whatever that airport's off-brand pub-style restaurant is. It has some weird name that you've never heard of before in your life. It's like, it'll be like some intersection, you know, like it'll be called Main and Pine or, you know, something like that, or just some weird, or it'll have a chef's name on it for some reason. It's like, oh, why is the chef doing a restaurant in the airport? Because we know the food is piss. But it'll be like, oh, the Mario Batali experience.
Or it'll be called like Urban Experience.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's like the off. It's like when you go to a mall and there's like an off-brand clothing store that you've never heard of. It's very similar. Love to eat at those restaurants. Always getting chicken fingers. They're never good. Shout out to that particular establishment in the airport. Luke, you're number two, please.
Really quick, I want to ask, do you guys know who the chef is that is the branding of every single restaurant in the Burbank airport?
Is it Wolfgang Puck? Because I feel like he has a lot of airport stuff.
He does, but no.
Guy Fieri?
It is Guy Fieri. Every single restaurant, both from the bar to the sit-down restaurant to like the fast casual place, are all Guy Fieri places.
Wow.
Amazing. You got to get the donkey nachos or whatever. Oh, it's donkey sauce. Nachos in a can. It's garbage Guy Fieri's can big. Nachos. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yes. Yep, garbage can nachos. That's the one.
Number two for me, I mean, you know, it might not be the best, but it's tried and true. You know, every single place in the damn airport, whether it's a fucking Chipotle or a Dunkin' Donuts or a Hudson News, is going to have a chicken Caesar wrap that has the exact same packaging as every other place at the airport. And, you know, I don't know where they make it. I don't know why they all have it, but I've eaten my fair share and I know they're not going to make me sick, at least.
Yep. I mean, they kind of suck, but they're kind of fine also.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What more could you ask for?
That's great.
Stefan, you're number two.
You know what? I kind of like a bag of beef jerky because I feel like I don't really do beef jerky that often, but it's like a classic airport. I feel you see it in the snack section of the airport. And I think part of it is that it's right next to like a bag of chips and the chips are like $8. And then the beef jerky is like $3 more. And it's like, well, I might as well just get the beef jerky at this point, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. And beef jerky
kind of feels like a meal in a way.
Yes. It's that.
It's like,
that
if I'm
too,
not
going
to eat, if I'm not going to eat the, like, I'm not going to have a meal, I'm skipping a meal.
Yes.
Beef jerky feels like,
protein. I can't get chips and candy. I'll get the candy and the beef jerky.
Totally. John? My number two, I'm just going to go with a classic bagel.
Yep.
Just wherever you get it from, it could be Tim Hortons, could be Starbucks, could be another like random one-off little deli or cafe or something. But you just, it really doesn't matter what time of the day, you're always going to be like, I could have a bagel right now. Fills you up a little bit. That's a classic for me. Again, and one that's easy to put in your bag too. You can get the bagel, put it in your satchel, eat it on the plane.
It doesn't smell on the plane.
Yes.
To me, it's a pretty big... It's kind of a faux pas when you see someone bringing the McDonald's on the plane. Look, I know we've all been there. We've had a close connection, of course. You know, chicken Caesar wrap doesn't really have a smell because it just smells like the plastic it comes in, you know?
Yeah.
Super true.
Yeah.
Luke, you're number one.
My number one, it's going to be the sort of satellite location of a well-known brand such as a Chili's 2, or there's a Cheesecake Factory one as well, because I am a big, what I call, chain celebration restaurant head. I love an Olive Garden. I love a Cheesecake Factory, a Red Lobster, and I like to see how they're kind of taking those well-trodden menus and mixing it up a little bit for the airport and see what kind of crazy shit we're going to have going on there, if there's a special kind of Southwestern egg roll that I can only get at the airport.
Love it. That's a great choice. I feel like we don't really have Chili's 2 in Canada.
Really?
No, but the Calgary airport has a Chili's in it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's not a Chili's 2, though. It's just a Chili's, but we have one.
My number one, a Canadian classic. I mean, it's an American restaurant, but the Canadian version is famously much, much better. But that's A&W.
Yeah.
At any Canadian airport. It's incredible. Have you had Canadian A&W, Luke?
I had it once. I went to Toronto a few years ago, and I had it, and it hit really hard.
It's really good. So they have that at the Vancouver airport. I'm going to get that there every time.
Can I ask, how does it compare to In-N-Out? Because I feel like they might be comparable in price.
I think In-N-Out
more
burgers
expensive
are better
than In-N-Out for sure. A&W is quite expensive. It's like a luxury fast food experience.
It's like Shake Shack.
A combo at A&W is going to set you back about $13 to $15 Canadian dollars.
Yeah, but that's like $10 American. I mean, that's basically the price of like Wendy's, or that is kind of the price now everywhere.
Yeah, like to me, but more expensive would be like a Shake Shack, where I'm spending like $17 to $20.
No, it's not. It's not quite Shake Shack.
It's not quite there.
Or like Five Guys, but like it's really good. I mean, I think I prefer In-N-Out, but man, A&W is so fucking good.
Yeah,
it's great.
I think A&W is better than In-N-Out, I would say.
I think the thing with A&W is that it has way more of a selection.
Yeah, you got chicken options. Right. The chicken is quite good there.
Yeah, the onion rings. They got a lot more stuff, but I mean, it's hard to beat just a burger and fries at In-N-Out.
Is it counter service, or is it like, do they have waiters for some reason? Why do I think
it's
that?
It's counter.
It's counter service. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My number one is a snack item that I only eat when I am flying. So it feels like the perfect answer to this question. And that is the snack size tube of original Pringles.
I was hoping someone would say that.
I don't know why. Yeah. And I don't know if that's just a Canadian thing, but every airport and every Canadian airline, like if they have a limited snack menu, they will have a tube of Pringles on there.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
And I don't love Pringles are fine, but I'm never going to buy them like at a grocery store to eat at home. But for some reason on a plane, like bagel and Pringles feels like a complete meal.
You know what it is? Can I say what it probably is?
Please. Yeah.
It's that the pressurized cabin makes it so it does the very satisfying pop when you open it.
And once you pop, the fun don't stop.
And the lid you have to peel off is like sort of like, there's like, you can feel that it's like under pressure inside, right? It just
and there is something nice. It's like a surprise. You know, there's something about Pringles to me where even though I'm certainly someone who eats my fair share of food for kids, like fruit snacks or whatever, but there's something about Pringles specifically where I was like, I don't really think I've like bought these except for when my mom bought them when I was a kid, except for like you're saying, John, at the airport. Like, I don't know how many times. I feel like on one hand, I can count the number of times in my life as an adult I've had a can of Pringles in the house.
I bought a can of Pringles yesterday.
Okay, there it is. All right.
Yeah.
All what right. kind?
Never mind.
Sour cream and onion.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the pizza ones.
The pizza ones are really good.
Pizza's
too.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great top three. Very a great episode, Luke. Great to have you on the show. Before we go, anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah. I was recently on another podcast called Your Kickstarter Sucks.
Yeah.
And we discussed a movie that was not very good, but it was pretty funny to talk about, which I believe was the point of the episode. I can't be totally sure. We watched Men in Black International. I think it's a Patreon only episode, so you're going to have to subscribe to the Patreon to listen to it. But I thought it was funny. I guess we'll have to wait for the audience reaction to see if it's funnier than this episode. I think I was similar levels of on, but
you were great. Today.
You were on.
I
mean, okay.
I'll listen to the YKS episode.
That's funnier.
So. You do? Okay. Well, Dan, you were there at both, Dan. So that's good.
Funny, but yeah, YKS.
Can you tell me which one was I funnier at though?
That's hard to say. You were very good on both, but I would say YKS.
You could say it though. Well, you could YKS. Yeah. The riffs were better.
Yeah.
But I had a better prepared story for this one.
That's true.
The Blocktail was really good.
Really
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Honestly, the most important part of the show.
It is cool that you did all that, and we are most certainly going to be cutting that out of the episode. But
do you want me to plug something real now?
Yeah. Maybe plug the things you do sort of regularly the Patreon of Your Kickstarter Sucks. If you could help it, would be nice. Yeah.
And I do get that, but it felt like I had to at least give it the old college try.
We will be absolutely cutting all
Totally. That makes sense.
We'll be re-adding in all your death threats from earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That you can honestly put that fucking paper. I'd love to get sued by that motherfucker. I'll take him down from the inside. Anyway, yeah.
What do you mean you'll take him down from the inside?
All right. You want to hear my plan? So he sees the death threats, but then I'm like, actually, bro, that was just to get your attention. Let me tell you why I should work for you. And he's like, that's actually the most genius thing I've ever heard, because he's a fucking dumb person. I start working at the company. I work my way up. I become an invaluable member of the team, and I actually get added to the main squad that's in the videos. And then I start poisoning them all Breaking Bad style with ricin.
But enough about Jesse Farrar.
Yes. I'd like to plug, I'm a comedian. I also do a call-in talk show on twitch.tv/TheLukeMan that I have a lot of fun doing. I've had Stefan on. I've had Mr. Jesse Farrar on. I've had a lot of people.
You've had DBJ on. You've had Demi on. A lot of former guests.
Yeah. A lot of former guests, and also a lot of comedians that I know just from around the LA area.
Yeah. You had Libby on recently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's
a lot of my friends. That's interesting.
Well, John, we've never met till today. Huh? I mean, that'd be kind of weird. No. You said it, so let's run through it. So if I messaged you out of the blue, hey man, I'm Stefan's friend. Do you want to come do my call-in show, even though we've never met? How would you react? Yes,
he would have done it. He would have done it.
I would have said yes. All right.
I guess when I said it wasn't that crazy. Fair enough. Okay.
I was like, that's kind of how things happen. Pretty often.
All right. So we'll cut.
We have a mutual friend who said that you're really funny.
We'll cut this out too. So we'll start. So I don't know when I started talking about.
I'm just joking. Jesse, we're not going to cut any of that out. You're good.
Okay. I'd like you to. Okay. So I do a show. It's called Chat Havers. I also do I make stuff in Unreal Engine and Blender, and it's like a cool augmented reality thing with like 3D graphics. And we also take calls from the stupidest fuck people that listen to my show, and it's a lot of fun. And you can follow me. Yeah. Also Luke Without Limits on Instagram.
Wonderful. All right. There you go. Give Luke a follow, and you can give us a follow. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok @BlockPartyPod. You can see this video episode live on our YouTube @BlockParty. And a plug from me, I do have a new Jeopardy podcast out with Emily Heller. The first episode just came out last week. It's a weekly recap show of Jeopardy. Lots of people are really liking it, including weirdly a lot of the people we're talking about who were on Jeopardy that first week. So it's called What Is a Jeopardy Podcast. And if you listen to it, I would love that. Thank you so much for listening to this show. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you back here next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.